the first case on the court oral argument docket today is Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. versus Bob Bennett, Executive Director of the Athletic Commission of the Department of Business and Industry, State of Nevada, and the Nevada State Athletic Commission, case number 81319. Are you ready to proceed, Mr. Goodman?
I am, Your Honor.
Okay. Go ahead, sir. Sorry.
I may reserve 4 minutes, please.
Yes, sir.
Chief Justice, and may it please the court, Ross Goodman on behalf of the appellate Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. This appeal seeks to vindicate a basic proposition that a state agency or any administrative agency cannot discipline somebody whom it does not license. Mr. Chavez, in this case, was not a licensee before the agency, had not even applied for licensing. It's a hallmark of due process that one needs to have consent and notice before you are held to be accountable for rules and specifically in this case, drug violations. In this case, what happened is that Mr. Chavez went out on social media, said that he was looking at fighting in Las Vegas towards the end of the year. Based on those comments, Executive Bob Bennett sent out a drug tester to go to California.
Well, Mr. Goodman, it wasn't just based on those comments, though. The promoter was working with the MGM Grand. They were promoting this fight. So it's not just some isolated comments on social media. So how does that affect our analysis?
Well, it doesn't, Your Honor, because the promoter is a licensed individual. The promoter has no agency or employment relationship with Mr. Chavez. The promoter is merely somebody who is licensed by the commission to stage events up to 18 people on a card. So there was no vicarious relationship with Mr. Chavez. But with respect to that specifically, there was no permit.
Mr. Goodman, I'm sorry. It's Justice Silver in Las Vegas. This was never argued to the district court, what you just argued about the agent, and it was brought up the first time in your reply brief.
I don't think it was addressed at all down below, and that is because there is no agency relationship with Mr. Chavez. And we did argue down in district court, Your Honor, that there was no minimum contacts analysis for this case. What the state was trying to do was bootstrap that minimum contact analysis, which has nothing to do with administrative agencies, and to say, hey, because you have a promoter, there's personal jurisdiction through the promoter, implying and suggesting, although there's nothing in the record, that the promoter has some sort of agency or employment relationship with Mr. Chavez.
How does that relate, though? The state brought up in there, although you didn't bring it up until your reply brief, the state cited to Tricari, which is an opinion authored by this court about a year ago, which basically holds that co-conspirators at the long-arm statute of minimum contacts does apply to co-conspirators. So why wouldn't it apply to agency as well? If personal jurisdiction can extend to co-conspirators,
There was no formal announcement. There was no press conference. There was no permit pulled. There was no contract to fight in Nevada. There was nothing with the agency. There was no contract with MGM, the venue, with the promoter. There was no ticket sold. There was no venue. There were no contracts. So that being said, the issue here, Your Honor, for this appeal is, can an administrative agency discipline and punish somebody whom it does not license? And the answer is no.
Mr. Goodman, this is Justice Kanish. Yes. Hi. If he had shown up here, 2 days before the fight, getting ready for the fight, weighing in and all that, is if he didn't have a license, they can't touch him?
Well, no, Your Honor, because that takes out of context the way that the agency works and how The agency would ultimately have to sanction the event, which would include the contestant. And as the court knows from the statutes, very clearly say that you must be licensed in order to be associated with any contest. And then
does it say you have to be licensed to be associated with a contest?
I will find it, Your Honor. It's right in the opening brief. And our on page 12 of the appellant's opening brief.
I'm sorry. Okay. So you're saying, I understand. You're saying that's your argument. Go ahead.
Well, that's the argument, Your Honor, because then when you drop down below in subsection 3 of the main statute, it says an application for a license constitutes a request for a determination of suitability to be associated with a contest. In other words, until that individual applies for a license, he's not consenting to abide by the rules and regulations of an agency.
But Mr. Goodman,
and therefore,
467070 talks about the jurisdiction of the commission, and licensing is not mentioned in there. It's them being able to control all exhibitions of unarmed conduct or combat to be conducted, et cetera. Their licensing is not in the statute that relates to jurisdiction of the commission, because to interpret it in the way that you're asking us to interpret it would probably thwart the use of any performance-enhancing drug screens or anything, given the proximity when licenses are requested to the event and when they are granted to the event.
I don't know if I can't read my handwriting up, but I'm looking at 467-101. But the statutes are clearly cited in all the briefing, both in district court and in this appeal, Your Honor. And it clearly says all contestants must be licensed by the commission. No person may participate directly or indirectly in any professional contest.
And then when you drop down, what if they started selling the tickets, as apparently MGM was planning to do, but your client hasn't yet applied for a license? He's still not subject to jurisdiction?
Well, Justice Kadish, that's the whole issue on this appeal, right? The section that you're referring to talks about the authority of the commission to regulate the contest in the state of Nevada. They have authority to do whatever they want to. They do not have to sanction that event, right? Because as the court just read, they have authority to sanction that contest. But that's different than jurisdiction over an individual. That's a violation of due process.
I'm still questioning you on personal jurisdiction. What about the fact that he did have a license in Nevada? He just let it expire. And in fact, what's in the record is he actually fought in a 2017 fight at T-Mobile Arena. I mean, it's not like he's never been to Vegas before to fight. He had a Nevada license. He just let it expire.
That's correct, Your Honor. And like in the Steve Wynn case and other cases where we talk about licensees, if there's a violation during the time that that person is licensed, then if you let it expire or cancel it, then that's a different issue, because you were licensed by the agency. You consented to abide by their rules during the time of the violation. Mr. Chavez was not licensed, nor did he apply for licensing, so there is no consent to abide by the rules. This is not agency.
Mr. Goodman, he has social media attached to his exhibits, his own Instagram, he's promoting the fight. I looked at the exhibit. He's literally promoting the fight December 20th against Jacobs. So that too wouldn't be part of the of us looking at him availing himself to Nevada jurisdiction. It's his Instagram.
There's no substitute for personal jurisdiction with respect to an administrative agency. This is not a civil case, Your Honor. This is not a court that's making a decision under that analysis. The only jurisdictional trigger for an administrative agency is by applying for licensing. An administrative agency otherwise doesn't have inherent authority to discipline any random person out there. And when you're talking about Mr. Chavez going on social media saying he's going to fight in Las Vegas, there was no event sanctioned by the agency. There was no contract to fight. There was no license given. There was no permit pulled. So there, I mean, you know, anybody can go on and say anything. That doesn't give an agency the right to go drug test that person. You have the right to say no. You don't have to consent to it. And if you do, you know what the commission can do? And like every other commission or boxing commission in the United States, except for Nevada, you deny the license. You deny the license when you say, okay, commission, look at me for my suitability. Well, Mr. Chavez, you didn't agree to a random drug test. That's your right, but it's our discretion now not to approve you to be a licensee.
But Mr.
Or
Goodman?
Go to the licensed promoter where there is jurisdiction and say, you can't let a contestant or a fighter that you promote fight unless you require them to do a drug test and disclose it to the commission because they're actually licensed by the agency. But you
Mr.
can't
Goodman?
Trample...
Doesn't yes. the statutory scheme contemplate pre-licensing drug testing? In the drug testing provision at 0.153, there's nothing about licensing. It contemplates including without limitation during any period of training, which you know would be well before somebody applies for a license. And they don't mention license.
But that's assuming, that's implying that you're licensed by the agency.
Look at their own statutes,
Your Honor. I mean, 467.570, Nevada Administrative Court. This is the statute that the court needs to look at. The agency requires applicants to consent to drug testing at a time as a condition of licensing. They require applicants to consent to drug testing. How do you require somebody who's not licensed before the agency to consent to something? I'm going to reserve my time, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Christensen or Mr. Castronova? Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry, Mr. Ireland. My apologies.
No problem, Your Honor. Hugh Ireland on behalf of respondents. May it please the court. I'd like to start with what Justice Silver started with about how the agency relationship was never argued by Chavez below. And in fact, the commission in the transcript, or if you look at the transcript of the very first commission hearing extending the temporary suspension, they brought up the promoter's request for the permit as what triggered the drug test and triggered their exercise of jurisdiction. At that point, Chavez did not disavow any kind of agency relationship with the promoter. In the district court, again, that was pointed out that the promoter requested this permit. And again, Chavez did not contest that the promoter was his agent. And it's important to remember that the order being challenged is an order granting summary judgment. And there's factual findings in there, including that the promoter was acting as Chavez's agent. And those findings were not challenged, except maybe if you consider the reply brief filed by Chavez in this court. So we have uncontested factual findings showing that the promoter was acting as Chavez's agent. And beyond that, Chavez ratified the promoter's action by marketing the very same fight. The request by the promoter was for a permit for a fight between Chavez and Jacobs in Las Vegas on December 20th. And I believe, as Justice Silver pointed out, there is a social media post or a video by Chavez saying, I'm going to be fighting Jacobs on December 20th in Las Vegas. So on this record, I don't think there can be any dispute that the promoter was acting as Chavez's agent. And if you look at this court's decision in Trump v. 8th Judicial District Court, this court squarely held that an agent's contacts with the state of Nevada can be imputed to the principal for minimum contacts purposes. So under that authority, the promoter's action of requesting the permit alongside Chavez's ratification and marketing of the fight to Nevada and the venues reserving the date and preparing to sell tickets all of that constitute minimum contacts. So taking a step back from that, I just want to go to the statutory authority, because it seems like the court is interested in what statutory authority does the commission have for exercising jurisdiction or potentially disciplining Chavez. And here the statutory authority is pretty clear. Under NRS 467070, the commission has jurisdiction over, quote, all contests or exhibits of unarmed combat to be conducted, held, or given within the state of Nevada. So that's forward-looking. NRS 467.158 provides that the commission has authority to discipline, quote, any person involved in or associated with unarmed combat in the state. And NRS 467.153 actually mandates that the commission drug test unarmed combatants, and it says including during training. And sorry, to go back for 1 second, NRS 467.153, subsection 5, that says that the commission has jurisdiction over anyone involved in unarmed combat in Nevada, regardless of whether they're licensed. It specifically says that licensing doesn't matter for jurisdiction. The regulations are equally clear. NAC 467570, which is I believe, a provision that my friend on the other side was bringing up, that requires unarmed combatants to submit a drug test, and it doesn't say anything about applicants or licensees. It says unarmed combatants, which Chavez was. He was planning on contesting about here in this state. And NAC 467.5705 provides that refusal to submit to a drug test requested by the commission is an anti-doping violation. So I don't think there really can be any dispute about the statutory and regulatory authority. And in fact, it seemed like, based on Chavez's opening brief, that he was conceding that the statutes and the regulations are clear, and this is only a personal jurisdiction constitutional challenge. And if it's a constitutional challenge, then we know we go to the minimum contacts test that's established by International Shoe. And that test is laid out in this court's decision in Trump v. HJD. And Mr. Goodman, he asserts that there's no authority for applying the minimum contacts test to an agency personal jurisdiction question. But that's not true. International Shoe actually itself, the seminal personal jurisdiction case, was about agency jurisdiction. If you look at that case was about whether the Washington State Division of Unemployment Insurance could initiate enforcement proceedings against an out-of-state corporation. So even all the way back then, it was clear to the U.S. Supreme Court that agency personal jurisdiction and court personal jurisdiction have the same analysis.
Mr. Ireland?
Yeah.
Mr. Ireland, what facts in your estimation are important in establishing jurisdiction here? For instance, if it was just the social media post, or if it was just the ticketing, what are the facts that you rely upon that you think are important here in establishing jurisdiction?
I think the most important facts, Your Honor, are the combination of the request for the permit and the social media posts. The request for the permit, like I said, was an agency's contacts with the state, an agent's contacts with the state, and therefore they're imputed to Chavez. And traditionally in the boxing industry, that is when the commission first asserts its jurisdiction over an unarmed combatant. It's the request for a permit and the reservation of a date. And then if you combine that with the social media posts, so there really can be no dispute that he was marketing this fight that was to take place in Nevada and that he was ratifying his agent's actions. I think it's those two combined. I think this would be a much harder case if it was just the statements. I'm not really sure one way or the other how it would come out, but I think that would be a harder case. And that would be a harder case for another.
Excuse me. Could I just pause you there? If you did not have the request for a permit, would you concede that personal jurisdiction is lacking?
I would not concede that, Your Honor. Like I said, that would be a harder case. But for example, if you look at the very recent U.S. Supreme Court case, I believe it's Ford v. Montana, there the marketing of a product towards the state was a very important basis for finding jurisdiction. And here we have an unarmed combatant marketing a fight to take place in Nevada. But like I said, it would be a closer call. And here, fortunately, we don't have those facts because we have an principal-agent relationship that was not contested below. And just to take a step back about the standard of review, because there has not been a final disciplinary proceeding, this case posture is a little strange because Chavez filed his complaint while the disciplinary proceedings were ongoing. So under Trump v. HJD, the commission only needs to establish a prima facie case of jurisdiction at this point. They don't need to prove it. And so if you look at the social media post and the request for a permit, as well as the reservation of the date by the venue, I think all of that is enough for at least a prima facie case of jurisdiction.
Counsel, if you didn't have the...
Can I ask a question? I've been cut off like three times. What about the facts that he had he did a 2017 fight in Nevada, and he did have a license in Nevada, but let it expire? How does that play into contacts here in Nevada?
Well, Justice Silver, I think that was important to show that he had notice of what the rules are here. I don't think it's necessary to show that he personally knew the rules, but here he clearly did. And it also shows that this was not some kind of flippant, oh, I'm going to Las Vegas to fight. He had fought here before. He was serious about fighting here. He had a history of fighting here. I would be a little cautious to say that those contacts alone, those previous contacts alone, established jurisdiction, just because the second step of the personal jurisdiction test is whether this claim arises from those specific contacts. And here, really, the claim arises from the new fight that he was organizing that he had requested a permit for and said he was going to fight.
But further to that point, I want to circle back to the request for a permit, because if you don't have that request for a permit and you just have the social media post touting this fight that hasn't had a permit applied, how do you have statutory or regulatory jurisdiction to discipline public statements, not in Nevada, about that fight from somebody who hasn't applied for a permit and who is not currently licensed?
Well, Your Honor, I would say that they don't have jurisdiction to sanction the comments. They could have jurisdiction to sanction the refusal to take a drug test, because NRS 467.070, all that requires is for a contest to be held in the state. And if the facts show that this social media post established that there was a fight to take place in the state, then I think there would be statutory authority. And once you get past that, then I think 467.158 is clear that you don't need someone to have an agency or a licensee relationship or a permit or anything like that to be able to subject them to discipline and to the requirements of a drug test.
So to be clear, you think 467.070 would support the assertion of disciplinary authority over someone who makes a social media post about a yet-to-be-scheduled fight in Nevada?
I think that this is a case-by-case analysis, that you would have to look at all the facts and circumstances. I think, as Justice Silver pointed out, the fact that someone had fought previously in Nevada would be evidence there. If they hadn't fought, that would be a different case. So it's difficult for me to say in the abstract, but I think there is some basis for exercising jurisdiction there. I wouldn't be comfortable coming out and saying straight one way or the other in this kind of hypothetical.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Ireland, if I might, this is Justice Herndon in Carson City, and I'll just kind of point out to Mr. Goodman, I was going to ask this question of him as well, so maybe he can address it in his rebuttal. But I know we've talked a lot about the jurisdiction issue, but you mentioned a moment ago the fact that the agency decision wasn't final yet. So we have to deal with the idea of a failure to exhaust administrative remedies or the excusal of that failure. So can you speak to that too, please?
Yes, Your Honor. So the general rule is, unless it's a purely legal facial challenge, that the respondent in before the agency has to exhaust his administrative process before he can bring any kind of court challenge. A couple times Chavez says that this is a facial challenge, but if you look at the way we've been talking, it's very fact specific. It's what did the promoter do? What did Chavez himself do? So I think this is clearly not a facial challenge. And if it was a facial challenge, he would have to show under this court's deja vu showgirls decision that there's no set of facts under which the statute could ever be constitutional. And I don't think he's made that showing. So that sets up that administrative exhaustion applies. Now, Chavez argues that the commission kind of disavowed its ability to take on the constitutional question. But if you look at the transcript, they're actually talking about a totally different constitutional challenge. Before the agency, Chavez asserted that the statutes were overbroad and vague, which is a different challenge than what they're bringing before this court. But back then, he said they were overbroad and vague. And the commission said, well, that's a facial challenge that we aren't really equipped to deal with. But the commission is clearly dealing with the facts of whether there's jurisdiction. They talk about the request for the permit by the promoter as establishing their jurisdiction. So our position is that Chavez would have to complete the disciplinary proceeding, and then at that point he can bring a petition for judicial review where he can raise these very same issues. There's no bar to him talking about them at that time, but under this court's administrative exhaustion doctrine, this is not the proper time for him to raise those arguments.
All right, thank you.
So, Mr. Ireland, what's the status? There was the TRO or preliminary injunction, whatever it was in place in district court for some period of time, and then the court granted summary judgment and dissolved the injunction. Has that been stayed? Have the proceedings, disciplinary proceedings, been stayed pending this appeal?
Your Honor, I don't believe a formal stay has been entered. The disciplinary proceedings were kind of stayed because of COVID anyway. And then my understanding is that the parties have amicably agreed not to continue with that disciplinary proceeding until this litigation wraps up. But I don't believe there's any kind of formal thing in the record showing that. But okay. The status is the same as it's been throughout. There is no final disciplinary hearing yet.
And it's my understanding that Mr. Chavez ended up fighting Mr. Jacobs on December 20th, 2019, but in Arizona. Is that your understanding?
Yes, that's correct, Your Honor. And one thing I just point out, since you brought that up, the Arizona Boxing Commission actually granted him permission to fight in Arizona before the TRO was entered in this case. So at time, Chavez says that under the Muhammad Ali Act, I'm not allowed to fight anywhere because of the Nevada temporary suspension. And that doesn't appear to be the case because the Arizona Boxing Commission had no problem giving him permission to fight, even though the temporary suspension was in existence in Nevada at that time.
Mr. Ireland, briefly, can you indicate how appellant's argument, if adopted, on when you could drug test would thwart the regulation of unarmed combat in Nevada?
Yes, Your Honor. The use of performance-enhancing drugs during training is just as much of a threat to the fairness and the safety of the sport as the use of performance-enhancing drugs right before or during a contest. During the training period, that's when a fighter is bulking up, and it would be extremely dangerous to say that the fighter, or the unarmed combatant, sorry, is in complete control of when he can be drug tested. If he doesn't want to be drug tested, he doesn't apply for a license. And then once he's sure that it's out of his system, and I'm not making any allegation about Mr. Chavez, I'm just saying in general, once the unarmed combatant is sure that it's out of his system, oh, now I apply for a license right before the contest, and I'm clear and safe. So we believe that this regulatory scheme and statutory scheme established by the legislature is essential to protecting the safety of the combatants and the public's respect for the boxing industry. And for that reason, we would ask that this court affirm the judgment below. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ireland. Mr. Goodman, you have 3 minutes.
Thank you, Chief Justice. So what's missing so far in this whole argument is that there needs to be a rational basis to a legitimate state interest, in this case, to have a clean sport. And as I cited in two Supreme Court cases, the fundamental principle that regulations on entry into a profession are constitutional, they have a rational connection with the applicant's fitness or capacity to practice that profession. Here, you don't have the applicant's fitness at issue because he has not applied. So there is no rational relationship or rational connection to drug test somebody who hasn't applied for licensing. As I said, and because I'm short on time, I don't want to go through the statutes again, but the agency, the legislature has already provided as a condition of licensing, the applicant must consent to being drug tested at any time during the licensing period.
Mr. Goodman, I guess a long time ago, I learned a principle that, ignorance of the law is no excuse. Where is this principle that you're advocating that you have to consent to be subject to statutes and regulations coming from?
Well, first of all, Justice Kate, it's just a matter of due process, but it's provided in the statute.
Where? What due process case says you have to have consented to regulations to be subject to them?
Well, it says the opposite within a statute, which is as a condition of licensing, you must consent to be drug tested.
It does say that. So does that imply that unless you've applied for a license, you're not subject to drug testing?
Yes, Your Honor. I would make that argument because I believe that as a hallmark of due process, one has to consent and have notice. And then with respect to the two Supreme Court cases I just referenced, which are spelled out in my reply, that the statutes over somebody, in this case, if you want to discipline or hold a non-licensed person accountable for disciplinary actions, it has to be a rational relationship to the entry into a profession with respect to the applicant's fitness. And that's why I've said throughout below in district court and here that there is no application for a license. With respect to the futility of the administrative procedure, I think if this is not a case of futility, I don't know what is. And I highlighted, excerpted Chairman Marnell's comments to me, which I don't want to go over, but this agency actually went to the legislature and got these new amendments in 2016 and 2019 amendments based on prior cases I had. And Chairman Marnell and another commissioner expressly said, it's not our job to address the constitutionality and due process of whether or not we can discipline a non-licensed person.
Does the court have any other questions for Mr. Goodman? Okay, thank you, Mr. Goodman. Mr. Ireland, we appreciate your arguments in the case and your briefing, and the case will